The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you all here for worship today. I had this epiphany or this moment where as I was getting ready for this, last year, our family got to go on a trip to, and it wasn't just last year when we went on a trip to where'd we go? Ireland and Scotland. It's any time I pack for a trip, and I don't know if you're like this or not. When you pack for a trip, how many of you, I found out there are two types of packers. Some of you know where I'm going with this. There are packers who have every outfit they're going to wear packed, and it's an outfit. It's not like, nobody does that. Me neither. I was going to say, I don't do that. When I pack for a trip, I take all the shirts that are in my drawer, and I throw them in a suitcase. And I take all the shorts that are in my drawer, and I throw them in a suitcase. And I take some other things that I know I'm going to need, and I throw it in a suitcase. And I'll figure it out when I get there and as it goes. And other people, like my dear wife, has every outfit planned for me and for her and for the kids and for everyone involved. And so there's two different types of people that pack. But when I found out one thing when I pack, this is going to seem strange to you, and this is my true confession moment, so just bear with me as your loving pastor who loves you dearly. I have a really hard time sometimes taking all my Mooringsport Baptist Church merchandise. You know, and if you don't know, we've got Mooringsport Baptist Church softball impact. We've got Mooringsport Baptist Church baptism shirts. We've got Mooringsport Baptist Church regular shirts. We've got Mooringsport Baptist Church hats. We're trying to get little like tags that you can put on your car, or your water bottle. And here's why. This is silly. I know. And this doesn't happen to you at all. I'm afraid I'm going to do something really dumb. Like I'm going to be yelling at my kids because I'm stressed out. I'm going to cut somebody off and I'm going to want to give them the South high five minus four fingers. And so like I'm going to do something really, really, really silly and foolish. And what's going to be branded all across my chest or on my hat or on the back of my car? Mooringsport Baptist Church. And people are going to think, what kind of people go there? And then if they were ever to find out that I was a pastor there, it'd be all over. And like, no one would ever come to church here ever again. And so because I have that fear, I'm cautious about what clothes I take on vacation because I don't want to be branded as something in a time when maybe I'm not at my absolute best. Y'all ever feel like that? You know, look, man, if people see you, great, but I want them to see me at my absolute best. I used to work at a hardware store and it cracked me up. People would come in and they'd have like the name of the company they worked for and they'd be asking for parts that don't even exist. I was like, you're the rookie. They sent you here looking for something. There are no left-handed screwdrivers, man. I'm sorry. And the guy would walk away so humiliated, and I knew that Walden Utilities was awful because they just sent the rookie down here to buy a left-handed screwdriver. Some of y'all don't get that. It's all right. Go home and look it up when you get home. You'll find out about it. But it got me thinking about this story I found in Scripture. It's in John, and we're going to jump through one account, but it's in different Gospels today. But today, just real briefly, I want to look at John chapter 18, if you've got your Bibles or your phones or however you want to look at it. And it says this in verse number 18, chapter number 18, verse number 15. Simon Peter was following Jesus, and so was another disciple. Now, the disciple was known to the high priest, and so he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter was standing at the door outside. So the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. The slave girl, therefore, who kept the door, said to Peter, "Aren't you one of this man's disciples?" He said, "I am not." It's interesting. If you look at this passage and you read about this passage, you see where Peter has this moment. And thank goodness they didn't have Air Jesus t-shirts or I'm one of the 12 shirts back then. Because Peter has this dilemma. He's here and he finally gets brought in where he can see all that's happening with Jesus. And out of nowhere, this person asks him the most absurd question. Aren't you one of his disciples? No. And you guys know the rest of the story if you've been around Scripture at all. Peter denies him not just one time, but three different times. And over this, you get the idea that Peter is not really wanting to be affiliated as one of his disciples right now. There are times, this is Peter maybe at his worst, but he wishes if he had that Team Jesus or one of the 12 shirts on, he could just kind of like take it off and hide it someplace. Because this really isn't the best time to be known as a disciple of Jesus. And so this question started there. And so I want to ask you this question this morning. Are you one of his disciples? Now, a couple things that we have to know that a disciple doesn't make you a disciple just because. The first one is this: you're not a disciple just because you hear God's word. In John chapter 6, verses 60 through 66, it says this: on hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that some of the disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are full of the Spirit and life, yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to the Father unless he has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. See, when you start this passage, what you find is there is a crowd of people that are all disciples of Jesus. They're all there. They're all wanting to hear his teaching. They're all wanting to hear from his word. And so they're all there ready to hear God's word. And what Jesus tells them about is he talks to them about taking his body and eating his body and drinking his flesh. And it's kind of strange terminology for you and I. But back in that time, really what it meant was this: hey, listen, I'm offering you a partnership with me. When you do this, you're becoming part of me and I'm becoming part of you, and we're uniting ourselves together. And so what Jesus says to this massive group of disciples is, listen, I want you to unite yourself with me. Someone say, I don't know about that. I'm cool to come. Look, the next time you do that thing where you feed a bunch of people with like 5 loaves and 2 fish, call me up for that, Jesus. I'll be here for that. The next time that storm comes and you want to walk on water and show us how you don't need a surfboard, I'm so down to be at the beach watching that. That would be amazing. If you'll call me then, I'll be here then. But actually uniting with you, I don't know. And the very last verse says a lot of the people who were his disciples no longer claimed to be his disciples anymore after that moment. See, it's not just enough to hear God's word. That does not make you a disciple. We were talking earlier during our Sunday school time about how many people come through here week after week, and they come and they sit in here and they hear songs that are based from God's word, and they hear children's lessons that are based from God's word, and they hear God's word read to them and tried to be taught to them, and they come and it goes in one ear and it goes out the other. Because here's the thing: just hearing God's word does not make you a disciple of Jesus Christ. All these people heard from the very mouth of God in flesh what it meant to have a relationship with him, and they still walked away and decided that they didn't want to be his disciple anymore. It's not just enough to hear God's word that makes you a disciple. Later on in Luke chapter, or the same account, but in Luke chapter 22, verses 5, 56 through 57, it says this: a servant girl saw him seated by the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't even know the man," he said. When Peter becomes just loosely associated with Jesus, he starts to lose his mind and he starts to get angry and he starts to scream at people. But what happened is this woman looked at him, and as she looked closely at him, she recognized him as having at least been part of the crowd that heard Jesus speak. But Peter used this advantage, ambiguity to his advantage to say, "Look, he looks like me, but it wasn't me." It's not just enough to hear God's word to make you a disciple of his. The second thing is, you're not just a disciple because of who you're around. Again, going back to the John 18 passage we just read, If you read that passage closely, what happens is more than likely John likes to write about himself in the third person, like when he beats Peter to the tomb and when he lays his head back on Jesus' chest at the Lord's Supper. He doesn't say, I did these things. He talks about the disciple whom Jesus loved, gives himself a great title. I wish I could give myself titles like that. I would like to be called Mountain Face, just if you ever want to give me a nickname. Mountain Face is what I would prefer, but that's a different note. What John does is he says, listen, I knew the high priest, and so I got to go into the temple. And when I got into the temple, I went and I told the gatekeeper, hey, look, Peter's okay. He can come in with me. He knows Jesus too. And then the gatekeeper calls Peter out and says, you know this guy too. And Peter says, no. And I just met him outside. I just want to kind of see what was going on. I was just curious. It's not just enough about who you're around. See, you can come in here and you can sit around all these wonderful people. This is the most fantastic kept secret in all of Caddo Parish, Morrisburg Baptist Church, and it's not getting to be a secret anymore. You're all lovely people. You're all great and wonderful and God-loving people. And look, it is amazing to sit in the presence with you. I'm honored to be around you. But just being around you doesn't make me a disciple. Just being around John didn't make Peter a disciple, because as soon as Peter had the opportunity, he said, no, that's not me. It's not just enough to surround yourself with people who love God. It's not enough just to surround yourself with people who are desiring a relationship with God. You have to do more than that. Being a disciple does not mean that you just surround yourself with the right kind of people. Wouldn't it be so easy if that's all God required of you? Just surround yourself with good people and everything's going to be okay. That's not what Scripture teaches, and so what you and I have to understand this morning is it's not just enough to be around the right kind of people. Again, in that passage, the woman associates Peter as having been known by Jesus, but it's not just enough to know someone else who knows Jesus. Similar to that, it's not just... you're not a disciple just because of where you're from. We live in the great state of Louisiana. No finer state in all the South or all the U.S., I'm convinced. Love it here. Great food, good people. Everything's wonderful. Everything's great. Can I share something with you? You're not a disciple because you're from Louisiana. I know, that's shocking to some people. You're not a disciple because you're from Caddo Parish. You're not a disciple because you're from Mooringsport. Look, I love our village. We're not even a town. We're a village. How awesome is that? We're a little village where everything is good. And man, you can leave your doors unlocked and your kids can roam the streets and everything can play together and life's grand and great and leave it to Beaverville. But here's the problem. That doesn't make you a disciple of Jesus Christ. You say, well, no, that doesn't. But I don't know if you know this or not. I'm kin to the Moore family. Who's not? Oh, I don't know if you know this or not, but my grandmother used to be a Sunday school teacher down there at Mooringsport Baptist Church. Dedicated. I don't know if that's actually how you pronounce that word, but man, she was cream of the crop, one of the best. I'm a disciple because of her. It's not the way it works. It's not just where you're from that makes you a disciple. You can't go back and you can't claim your grandparents' lineage and their faith and say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ because they were. It's not enough that your parents were. It's not enough that you come from a good town full of good people. None of those things make you a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's in Matthew's gospel that you find this account. In Matthew chapter, it's in Luke's account. Luke chapter 22, verses 59 through 60. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this man was a follower of him, for he is a Galilean. Peter also replied, I do not know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. It's not just enough to be known for the right kind of people, to be known for the right kind of town. Listen, this is one of the biggest challenges that we face as followers of Christ where we live. Everyone's a Christian. Because you were born in the United States of America, because you were raised in the South, the Bible Belt, because you grew up in a small rural community, you're saved. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. Peter They say, look, man, you got to be one of his. You're from the same area that this guy was. And he says, no, I'm not a disciple of his. It's not just enough to be from the right place, from the right family, from the right people group. That doesn't make you a disciple of Jesus Christ. Go on. Not only that, it's not just, you're not a disciple because of the words you say. Matthew's account, Matthew 26:73-74, a little while later, while they were standing there, they went up to Peter and said, surely you're one of them, your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses and swore to them, I do not know this man. Louisiana has its own accent even. I spent the first year I was here learning how to pronounce Shreveport. There's no Shreveport. Every place else I've been, it was Shreveport is how I pronounced it until I moved here. And then I was corrected very strongly. You don't say that. You say Shreveport. Yeah. Caddo Lake, only place in the world where the lake comes after the name of the every place else, it's Lake Pontchartrain, Lake Michigan, Lake whatever the case is. It's not here. It's backwards here. And I had to spend a year learning that. Because don't call it Lake Caddo because you will be asked to leave quickly. What they say is, listen, Peter, you've got to be one of this guy's disciples. You say things like he would. You ever talk to somebody who is just so full of Christianese you can't understand them? Oh, how you doing today? Blessed. I want to have a good preacher's voice. I don't know that I have one yet, but one day I'm great, brother. I'm doing well in Jesus. Yeah, praise God. I want so bad to have it. I don't have it. I wish I did. But you ever talk to those people? And you say, how are you doing? I'm saved, redeemed, and repenting. What? You have no clue what they say, but they know all the right words to say, don't they? You talk to them, how's life going? Oh, man, blessed and highly favored, two times poured over, double measure from God. I don't even know what you're saying, man. I'm just asking how your day's going. But they know all the right phrases and they know all the right terms and they know how to say the right things at the right time to convince you that what? Oh, I'm a disciple of Jesus. Didn't you hear I said double measure twice over? Not how I like my mochaccino, but how I'm blessed. It's like, no, man, it's not just enough to say the right words. It's not enough just to have the right tone, to have the right Christian phrases, to be able to say the right things at the right time so that people believe from just what you say that you're a follower of Christ. See, what happens here is they get Peter and they say, Peter, look, this is who you have to be. I can tell from the way you talk, you're one of his. And Peter says, no, I'm going to change the way I talk to prove to you that I'm not one of his. Being a disciple is more than just the way you talk. This one's going to hurt a little bit. I'm sorry. You're not just a disciple because of one bold action. When you read John's account, John chapter 18, verses 26 through 27, it says, one of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him and said, didn't I see you with him in the garden? Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a rooster crowed. Man, it'd be great if our Christian life was defined by one heroic moment, wouldn't it? This person says, Peter, look, when you were the boldest for Jesus, when you drew your sword around guards and you charged a guard and you cut off a guard's ear, Peter, when you did that, I was standing there and I saw you. You were with Jesus. Oh, I don't even like swords. I don't have a sword. That couldn't have been me. It must have been someone else. And then they look at us and they say, hey, remember that time you were at church and you guys are on Facebook now and I saw you prayed at church. Oh, no, wasn't me. I've got a doppelganger. He looks like me. Not me though. Different all the way. No, man, you fell in the baptistry, didn't you? I know you got baptized over at that church. It's etched in my memory forever. No, that wasn't me. Somebody else. Wouldn't it be great if our best moments were what people judged us by? But here's the problem. See, even this wasn't enough to make Peter his disciple. You look at it, and Peter says, no, that couldn't have been me. That must have been somebody else. I'm not one of his disciples. The person says, no, but you don't understand. I saw you do this great, heroic, brave, courageous thing. No, it wasn't me. I saw you walk an aisle. I heard you pray a prayer. I know at some point in time you gave your life to Christ. No. That was somebody else. It wasn't me. See, one bold action doesn't make you a disciple. One heroic moment where you place your faith and trust in Christ doesn't make you a disciple. It may mean you're saved, praise God, but it doesn't make you a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. See, it takes more than just these things to make us a follower of Christ. If our hope and our prayer is in that one of these things is enough, unfortunately, I hate to tell you this today, church, but it's not. Peter did all these things and still was able to say, no, I'm not one of his disciples. It's not until you and I are willing and able and ready to say, yes, I'm one of his, that it matters. Peter could deny it just like you and I could deny it. We can walk out of the doors of this church today. We can go to our Mexican restaurant. I'll see y'all there. We can sit down at our table. We can order our food. We can do everything we want to do. And then when somebody asks us, don't you follow Jesus Christ? And it's at an inconvenient moment for you and I, we can say, no, that's not me. Somebody else. Glaring similarities, but not me. So, maybe that's not you today. Maybe you're like, hey, look, I don't want to do that. I don't want ambiguity. I don't want to be unknown. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and I want everyone in my world to know that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a few things real quick that separate just people who follow Christ to a disciple from Jesus, to a disciple of Jesus Christ. The first is this. A disciple hears the word and does it. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into my kingdom, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name, perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. Here you find that it's not just enough to hear God's word. It's not just enough to come and have God's word read to you. It's not just enough to read God's word on your own. Until you and I make the commitment and the decision, I'm not going to hear it, but I'm going to actively do it and participate in it in my life, that you become a disciple of Jesus Christ. The second thing is this. A disciple unites with Christ in fellowship and in suffering. In John, the passage we read earlier where it talked about eating his flesh, he says this. Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last days. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. After Jesus makes this statement, this is when all the disciples start to fade away, and the people who said they were disciples start to kind of turn their back and say, this teaching's too hard. We don't want to be united with him. He turns to the 12. He turns to Peter and the others, and he says this in verse number 67. You don't want to leave too, do you? He asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, whom shall we go? You alone have words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Look, it's not just enough to hear God's word and do God's word until you actually unite with the body of Christ. Look, I don't preach about this a lot, and if I... golly. All right, here we go. Y'all are going to not like me. Sorry. We have too many homeless Christians in our world today. Here's what I mean. You have nice houses. You have wonderful places that you go and you sleep at night. I'm so thankful for that. You don't have a home. You don't have a fellowship that you're committed to. You don't have a body of Christ that you're united with in mission, in learning, in growth together. And so what happens is you pop in and out of church at your convenience when things are good, when things are bad, when the lake's not too pretty, when the weather's good, when everything's going well in life. You pop in and out of church, but you're not committed to a church and you're not united with the body of Christ. And so you're a homeless Christian. You go whatever church is doing the thing that you like that day. They have better music today. They have more exciting preaching. They have better this. They have better that. And so I'm going to jump and I'm going to go to church over there because it's better over there for right now. And what I'm challenging you with today is until you unite with a body of Christ. Now look, we may not be the church for everyone, and I understand that, and that's cool. But you need to find a body that you are united with. For the mission of Christ, for the growth of Christ, you need to find a body that you are united with. Because when you're united, it's this idea that you're committed to them and they're committed to you. Uniting with Christ is key to being a disciple of Christ. As long as I'm a fringe person, as long as I'm on the outside, as long as I can come and I can hear things until they get uncomfortable and I don't like them anymore, and then I can step away, you're not united. That's called dating. It's not called marriage. Look, we've been there. You date somebody. I'm going to tell this story because it's kind of weird. I broke up with a girl one time because her thumb stopped right here. I don't know why, but it stopped right there. And the first time she held my hand, I wigged out a little bit, and I couldn't do it. So I said, hey, look, I can't see anymore. I got to break up with you. She's a wonderful girl. She's a good Christian girl. And like, man, she's doing great in her life. But it's funny, as soon as something became uncomfortable and I didn't like, see ya. Can't do that with your wife. You married her for better, for worse, for short thumbs, for long thumbs. She's with me, regardless of the same thing. Look, it's funny, but some of y'all have that very same relationship with church. I want to date around and see what's out there. Plenty of fish in the sea. And when this church does something I don't like, I'm going to jump to the next fish. And to the next fish, and to the next fish. And what you're never doing is you're never truly uniting with the body of Christ. I got to get off of that and move on. The next thing, if you want to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, is this. You have to identify. Your identity has to be found in Christ. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 through 39, if anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. It's not just enough to identify with Christ. Your very identity has to be found in Christ. When you go back and you look at all these relationships, these are things that people would be known by. It'd be like if I were to ask, if you get in a conversation with somebody today, and the very first thing you do when you meet somebody is you say, hi, my name is John, and you say, hi, my name is so-and-so, and I say, the very next question out of my mouth 90% of the time is, what do you do for a living, right? Why? Because that's who you are. How many kids you have? Are you married? Are you single? Where do you live? Who are you related to? You have to ask that question in this town because good night. Everybody's related to everybody. But we all these things is what Jesus says. Listen, unless these things aren't important to you, you're not worthy to be called a disciple of mine. He's not actually telling you you have to hate your mother and father. He's not telling you you have to hate your kids. He's telling you that all the things that you find your identity in outside of him are meaningless and pointless. It's not just enough to say, I know him. It has to be, he is me and I am him. We are identified together. A disciple is united and their identity is found in Christ and Christ alone. Moving on, a disciple is proven in word indeed, in action. In Mark chapter 8, then he called the crowd to him and he said with his along with his disciples, and he said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes to his Father in glory with his holy angels. The idea is there is it's not just the words, but yes, your words matter because you and I have been given the responsibility and the gift to carry the word of God to a world who needs to hear it. They need to hear it spoke from our mouth. They need to hear about a God who loves them enough to send his only son to die on the cross for their sins, to offer them forgiveness of sins. They need to see it lived out in your life, but they need to see the gospel preached through your words and through your actions. A disciple of Jesus Christ preaches the word of God by the way they talk, but also by the way they live. If you are going to say you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, your words and your action have to follow who he was. Next, a disciple is someone who lives in constant sacrificial actions. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And then he said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up their cross daily, and follow me." We've read that verse in different translations of that time and time again today, but this one's slightly different. There's one little phrase in this one that makes it different from all the others. You must deny himself daily. It's not one big action. It's not charging the guards with your sword in the Garden of Gethsemane and then 2 hours later denying Jesus by a campfire. A true disciple of Jesus Christ consistently lives with sacrificial actions in their life. Their life is marked by sacrificial actions. It's not one time, one big bold move, once for all, but it's painfully dying to yourself every single day so that he can live through you. And last but not least, a disciple of Jesus Christ must follow Jesus. In John chapter 21, verse 19, says this, Jesus is finally talking to Peter after he's been restored by the seashore. And he says this to indicate what kind of death Peter will glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw another disciple who Jesus loved, the one who was leaning back on the one who had leaned back on Jesus at the Last Supper and said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" Again, that's John talking about himself. When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." It's not just enough to say you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. You have to actually follow Jesus. There was a phrase, it was a Hebrew blessing back in the day, and it said this, it said, "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi." And what that would mean is that as you would walk with your rabbi, as you would walk with a person that was discipling you, the dust from their feet would kick up and it would cover you. And it was to show how closely you were following them, how dedicated you were, that when things got difficult, when the road got rough, regardless of what it was, you were close enough to this person that you were going to follow them no matter what. It's not just enough to call yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ and not follow after him so closely that the dust from his feet kick up on you and cover you. You know what that does? Yeah, it's really dry here right now. You ever go out and mow your yard when it's really dry? What happens? All that dust kicks up. And it's real easy to get off, right? You can just go like this and all that dust just floats right off, right? Scrubbing for hours and hours and hours finally starts to remove that dust. That's the idea here. When you walk so closely, when you follow Jesus so closely that the dust from his sandals kicks up and it covers and it coats your life, and all of a sudden it does not matter how hard you try to deny him, you can't, because you visibly show the marks of following him. It doesn't matter if you have a bad day, if you scream at your kid in front of people and everyone looks at you like, "Oh man, who is this?" Or you cut somebody off in traffic and you yell at them and scream at them and all of a sudden you have Morningsport Baptist Church on the back of your car. Everybody knows who you are. Not just because you have Morningsport Baptist Church on the back of your car. Because the very dust of Jesus covers your life. Church, my challenge and my prayer for you is this. You would be covered in the dust of Jesus. you could not deny being his disciple because he is all over you. We're going to talk a little bit more about this idea next week. If you've got somebody in your life who doesn't know Christ, maybe they're one of those fringe people who kind of is on the outsides. They haven't really committed to following Christ. I want you to invite them to come back with you next week. Because we're going to talk a little bit more about how it's not just enough to be a disciple. There's another step to it. Today, maybe you've just tried to act like a disciple. You've had the right words to say. You've surrounded yourself with the right people. You're from the right line, but you've never truly taken that step to say, I'm going to follow Christ wherever he goes. I want to be his disciple. As Michael comes and leads us an invitation, my prayer for you is that you would make that commitment. When you go back and you look at all the disciples, the 12 that followed Jesus so closely, that Peter was originally, do you know where it started for Peter? It started by a lake. Jesus said two words, follow me. Peter had to lay down everything he had, take one step to follow Jesus. For you today, that's where it starts. The cry and the call of Jesus is the same. Follow me, become a disciple of me. Put yourself in union with me. The question for you is, are you willing to say yes and take that step to follow him? Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you so much for today. God, I pray that Morningsport Baptist Church would be covered in the dust from your feet. God, that every single one of us would visibly show the marks of being a disciple of Jesus Christ in every area of our life. And it would start today with us making a decision to say, yes, I will follow you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.